Heavenly Father, we exalt you, our great God and maker, our Lord. Lord, we bow our hearts before you this morning and seek your face. We ask you to minister to us today through your scripture, through the testimonies that we're about to hear. We pray that you'd be glorified in our midst, that you would use this hour for our benefit and for your glory. We commit it to you in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. This morning, Travis Sawyer is going to be speaking to us in both hours. Travis and his wife, Laura, and three of their four kids are with us this morning. If you haven't met them already, you'll get a chance at the break to do that. But they're missionaries in Masai Mara, Kenya. They've been there for, 6 years? 4 years. This is their first furlough home. We managed to get in just before the end of it, get some time with them. They go back March 30th. You can be praying for them for a smooth trip home and for all of the details that they're starting to scramble with now. Travis, come on and lead us, brother.
Is that working?
Yeah.
Well, good morning. As he said, my name's Travis Sawyer. My family's in the back, Laura, my wife. And then Sarah, our oldest daughter's not here. She's with an aunt in Birmingham. So we have Sarah, Summer, Savannah, and Skylar. Okay? It gets very confusing sometimes. We have two dogs as well, Samson and Sandy. So sometimes the kids get called the dogs' names and vice versa. So but we're thankful to be here. Happy to share with you guys what's been going on overseas, where we're at for the last 4 years. And what I like to do is, I got a video, it's about 6 or 7 minutes long. It's some of the highlights. It's impossible to fit 4 years of life into a 7-minute video. So this is just some of the highlights. And I always tell people, it was kind of funny when we started showing this at different churches, I would hear people ooh and ah and all this stuff, and I got to thinking, what are they oohing and aahing about? And there's some animals at the beginning of the video, okay? So after several oohs and ahs in several different churches, I thought I should tell people those animals was not just put in the video to ooh and ah. Those animals are stuff we deal with on a daily basis. They are a pain to us. And so you can ooh and ah, okay? They're beautiful, but I guess I put them in there to show more of what we have to deal with. And we constantly have elephants pushing over trees right outside our gate. We have lions at our front gate, buffaloes, you name it. We live in the Masai Mara Game Reserve. Okay, the animals don't realize there's no fence and shouldn't come in our yards and such to their game reserve. But I or somebody with me took every picture. These are not postcards we walked into Nairobi and got and stuck in here. So we took every one of these pictures. Also, a little bit about us. What we do is I've often asked, what's your title? I don't really know still. We pretty much, church planters, disciple makers, builders. The list goes on and on. There's some little pamphlets there, little trifold things. I put in there the job title of a missionary, and it's a long list, because over there you're considered the ambulance driver, the barber. Laura cuts my hair, by the way. You're everything, okay? So, but our main goal is church planting, disciple making, and I'll talk a little more about what's been happening in that regard at the end of the video. But anyway, I'll start the video, and you can ooh and ah. Don't feel that you can't ooh and ah. I won't be offended, because now you know this is stuff we deal with every day. People literally, at certain seasons of the year, won't come around our house because of all the animals on the mountain. Okay, so it's just a pain to us. But anyway, here's the video. There we go.
Viumbe viote via mungu wetu, na mfalme wetu. nasimwimbe pazeni sauti ili nasimwimbe watu wote viumbe vyote awaye yote sifu Mungu watu wote viumbe vyote awaye yote sifu Mungu
all creatures of our God and King
osifu ni Mungu
lift up your voice and with us sing
osifu ni Mungu
the burning sun with golden beams
imperi, imperi Pazeni, sauti, imbeni Viumbe vyote vya Mungu wetu na mfalme wetu Viumbe vyote vya Mungu wetu na mfalme wetu Pazeni, sauti, ili nasi mwimbe Pazeni, sauti, ili nasi mwimbe Amen
Watu wote,
all creatures
Viumbe vyote,
everybody
Awaye yote,
praise the Lord
Sifu Mungu,
Amen
Watu wote,
all creatures,
viumbe vyote,
everybody,
awaye yote,
praise the Lord,
sifu Mungu.
Thou rushing wind that art so strong,
osifu ni Mungu.
Ye clouds that sail in heaven along,
osifu ni Mungu.
Thou rising morn in praise rejoice,
imperi, imperi.
Ye lights of evening find a voice,
pazeni, sauti, imperi, viumbe vyote vya Mungu. Viumbe vyote vya Mungu wetu na mfalme wetu Pazeni sauti ili nasi mwimbe Pazeni sauti ili nasi mwimbe Amen
Watu wote
All creatures
Viumbe vyote
Everybody
Awaye yote
Praise the Lord
Sifu Mungu
Amen
Watu wote
All creatures
Viumbe vyote
Everybody
Awaye yote
Praise the Lord
Sifu Mungu
Flowing water pure and clear
hum, 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 hum.
Make music for thy Lord to hear
hum, hum, hum.
The fire so masterful and bright in vain That giveth man both warmth and light in vain Viumbe vyote vya Mungu wetu Viumbe vyote vya Mungu wetu Pazeni sauti
Let all let their creator bless
Osifu ni Mungu
And worship him in humbleness
Osifu ni Mungu
Oh praise the Father, praise the Son
Imperi, imperi
And praise the Spirit three in one
Pazeni, sauti, imperi Viumbe vyote vya Mungu wetu na mfalme wetu Viumbe vyote vya Mungu wetu na mfalme wetu Pazeni, sauti Ili nasi mwimbe Pazeni, sauti Ili nasi mwimbe Amen
Watu wote
All creatures
Viumbe vyote
Everybody
Awaye yote
Praise the Lord
Sifu Mungu
Amen
Watu wote
All creatures
Viumbe vyote
Everybody
Awaye yote
Praise the Lord
Sifu Mungu
Pazeni, sauti Ili nasi mwimbe Pazeni, sauti Ili nasi mwimbe Amen
Watu wote
All creatures
Viumbe vyote
Everybody
Awaye yote
Praise the Lord
Sifu Mungu
Amen
Watu wote
All creatures
Viumbe vyote
Everybody
Awaye yote
Praise the Lord
Sifu Mungu
The flowing water pure and clear Make music for thy Lord to hear. The fire so masterful and bright in vain. That giveth man both warmth and light in vain. Viumbe vyote vya Mungu wetu. Viumbe vyote vya Mungu wetu. Pazeni sauti.
and worship him in humbleness.
Oh,
praise the Father, praise the Son.
In Beni, in Beni.
And praise the Spirit, three in one.
Beni, Sauti, in Beni. Fiume Beate, Viam, Rolo, Vetu, Natu, Fame, Vetu. Fiume Beate, Viam, Rolo, Vetu, Natu, Fame, Vetu. Beni, Sauti, Ili, Nasi, Nasi, Rimbe. Beni, Sauti, Ili, Nasi, Rimbe. Amen.
So, that's just some of the highlights, and there's a story behind every picture, but I just put some of the pictures in to talk about a little bit. We first got to Kenya in May of 2006, and we went for 2 weeks down to the Maasai Mara. When you first come to Kenya, our mission wants us to go up in northern Kenya. It's about a 26-hour drive and spend time there acclimating to the 130-degree heat. You saw the little 124 degree. It was a cooler day. But they want you to go up and learn the language, get adapted to the culture and that kind of stuff. But our first 2 weeks, we was able to go down to the Maasai Mara with another missionary family. They picked us up and we got there. I just remember riding. And from where I'm from, in the mountains, four-wheeling, all that stuff my whole life, I was having a blast. It was raining, it was muddy, it was getting dark, we're sliding all over the road. And I looked over at Laura, said, "Isn't this great?" And Laura says, "We're getting farther and farther away from a doctor." That's what she was thinking with the kids and stuff. And so it's pitch black dark, no street lights anywhere. We arrive about 9 o'clock, and we had 13 of the big Contico Foot Lockers. You know those Foot Lockers you buy at Walmart. Had most of our stuff in it, waiting on our container to come. And they said, "Okay, welcome home," and they back down the yard. We unload 13 Foot Lockers in the pitch black. This was our house. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, no, I'm the wrong end of somebody's joke here. Okay, this is what I'm thinking. And sure enough, this is where we stayed. This is 14 by 12. Okay, 14 by 12. The first night we stayed here, you can see there's two doors to this place. First night, there was a wall right down the center, and there was one of the workers that lived right next to us with just a thin piece of tin separating us, and it was a whole luxurious 7 by 12 is what it was. And so the next morning, I asked the missionary, "Do you mind if we move the worker out and put him up in another place and so we could make this a nice big 14 by 12 for my family?" And so that was my first job in Sekenani. Sekenani is the name of the town where we're at in Maasai Mara. And that was our first job. Got that wall out of there, made that an awesome 14 by 12 living space. And in the little trifold, you'll see, I say, there's a thing in there that says, "Do you have what it takes to be a bush missionary?" And one of the things is you, your family, your dogs, and all you own can fit in a 14 by 12 space. And for 7 months, after we came back from up north, for 7 months, this is where we lived. Laura was pregnant the entire time with our third baby, with Savannah, and it had, inside of this, it had a queen-size bunk bed, okay? So that was inside of this. We slept on the top. Laura had to use a 4-foot step ladder to climb into bed every night. And you can't leave the dogs. We got dogs. You can't leave the dogs outside at night because the leopards jump in and take the dogs. So they had to come in with us. We had two kids at the time. And after our container came, you see this big box right here, that crate? That was a solar fridge freezer. And that's the big thing you see sitting right there in the corner. There's also a little stove in there. There was a bookshelf in there. And so it really tells you who you are when you live in a place like that for 7 months. But it all worked out. You notice right here on the eave of this thing, in the gable end, there's nothing there. It's just wide open, okay? So it gets dark 6:30, 6:45 year-round. There's no daylight saving times or anything like that. What do you do when you come home? And I was over trying to get our shop built that I'll show in a second. You saw a picture of it. And you come home, you've showered in your nice cold shower, and you want to do something. There's no electricity. There's no light, so it gets dark, and you want to read, okay, because that's all you got to do is read. Don't speak the language. I don't want to say you're worthless, but you just feel that way. You just don't know what to do with yourself in the beginning. So we'd pop the flashlights on to start reading, and there was bugs the size of softballs that would start hitting that tin. Just ding, ding. I mean, it was crazy. And so they're coming in. They're attacking us. What do? You go to bed. I mean, so we were very rested our first few months in Kenya, needless to say. We finally stuffed that full of net, and it didn't help. They still come in. In the daytime, where we're at in the daytime in Masai Mara, usually it ranges from mid-50s to 100 degrees. That's usually the temperature range. In the daytime, this thing was like an oven, and at nighttime, it was like a refrigerator for some reason. There was condensation. You'd wake up, and it'd be dripping on your nose. It was quite interesting. So you also seen in the picture, it even has a bathroom out back. And that was our bathroom for 7 months. There was a shower on this side, and there was a outhouse on the other side, a toilet. When we got there, after I finished taking the wall out, I went out, pushed the door up, and there's a little bee triangle about this big in the slab. I said, we got to do something about that. So that was the second thing I did, was try to figure out some kind of chute to go down this hole and build us a toilet seat. So that made life really, really nice. But this is a picture of Sarah, our oldest, and it's a funny story. Remember I told you guys Laura was pregnant the entire time we lived there, and for all of you ladies who've had babies, I guess you use the bathroom a lot. I guess that's just something that happens. I don't know. So this was outside. You had to go out into the wild here at night and use the bathroom. And I sleep like a log, so I don't hear anything. And Laura goes out here to go to the bathroom. Well, she didn't realize that Sarah had beat her to the bathroom. So she goes in as Sarah's coming out. So Sarah comes out, Laura goes in, Sarah throws the latch on the door. So Laura's locked in this bathroom at 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, and Travis don't hear anything, okay? She finally coached Sarah back to let her out, but lots of stories with that place right there. It's a cold water shower, too, and man, it is cold. It is cold. But just threw this in. This was when we actually went up to Loingalani, which was 26 hours away. Because it's 26 hours away, it's only 400 miles. It takes you 26 hours to go 400 miles, 430, I think. But because of the terrain and the distance, you do not want to have to come to town every week to do shopping. So we did 3 months at a time shopping. And this was Laura. This was her first go at it here. And you can kind of see her face. She's a little bit flustered. But we actually had a whole 600-square-foot house to live in there that the missionaries had built as a guest house. So it was pretty nice. Just threw that in. You go through it. You do this during the training at the mission, but it's so different once you get over there. And you can't run back and just get something if you forgot it. So different. This is Mama Chrysia, and I love talking about Mama Chrysia. She's one of the dear believers that was there before I got there, believer before we came, and it's been in the church for a long time. But I put this in here also to show you the typical Maasai house. This right here is about 10 by 12, and the ladies build it. The men don't do a thing. The women do all of the work, okay? Does that sound good? Some people are like, yeah, when I speak like that, lazy guy. But anyway, so the women will take and they'll put stakes in the ground, big poles, and then they'll fill it full of grass and straw and all that, and then they'll take manure and mud, mix it up, and they'll pat that in there. And Mama Chrissy, at 60-something, she's the one that built that house right there that you see. And inside of this house, it's pitch black. You can't see anything. They constantly keep the end of a log burning smoldering so that they can cook their chai, their tea, and cook their food and stuff when they get ready to. So it's very smoky. And there's a little hole right behind the fire about that big. That's the only light you have. When I go in these places, it takes at least 10 minutes for my eyes before I can see anything. And when my dad came over, I took him down here to see Mama Chrissy and see inside of a Maasai Manyata here. And so we go inside there. You can't see anything. You're just sitting there. And she's offering you whatever to drink. I'm afraid to know. But anyway, Laura takes a picture inside of this thing. And later on, she calls me and says, Travis, you got to come see this picture. So I go over on the computer, and obviously the flash lights up everything inside. You have an unknown number of insects crawling all over you, and you don't even realize it. It's pretty crazy. They're all over your feet. They're on your shoulders. They're in the walls behind you, and you're loving life and don't even realize it. It's kind of funny. But they typically keep all their young calves in here, all their young goats, all the young livestock stays in here with them. And so, as you can imagine, it's pretty rough. You can kind of see here, you see all these briars and stuff, that'll go up completely around a certain boma. They're called bomas. And all the livestock at night comes inside that boma. The little ones go in the house, the big ones are just trampling around. This is all manure. I mean, you can imagine 300 or 400 cows and goats trampling around all night. So it's pretty nasty, really is. Another story about Mama Chrissy is she don't speak much Swahili. She speaks Maasai, and it's the hardest language in the world, I think. I don't know. I've been there 4 years, and I can't even hardly pick out words yet. It's that bad. And so we always greet each other. And the only Maasai I know and only Swahili she knows, and we always greet each other at church. Most of the time we'll go over and get her on the four-wheeler, and we'll haul her and the kids back to church because she's older and it's hard to walk that far. And so we see each other in church, and we come up, and she'll give you a big old handshake. Handshaking is just something in Kenya they do, okay? I don't care who you are. You could just kill that guy's brother yesterday, and he's going to shake your hand the next day. That's just how they roll. And I see Mama Chrissy coming one day, church one Sunday, and she's probably from here to the wall, and I see her coming toward me, and you know, we're smiling, and there's this little kid walks by right here, and she looks down, and there's two big snot strings running out of this kid's nose, and she takes her hand, and she wipes that kid's snot strings off and keeps heading toward me. So at this point, what do you do, okay? This is what I'm thinking. You know, do I take an exit, you know, right? And so you suck it up and, you know, and you shake hands. So, but I love her and I wouldn't offend her for nothing. You know, she's probably one of the only people out there that I don't want to offend. That's why I shook her hand. Anybody else, I might have turned around the other way. So you have to become very conscious of only using a certain hand to wipe flies or rub your eyes. You never want to do it the hand you're shaking hands with. And so all kinds of crazy stuff we don't even have to think of here. Another good story about Mama Chris is the kids are really good around Mama Chrissy. All the kids. We couldn't figure out why. They just listen, okay? And so one day, one of the kids was asked by another missionary lady, why are you guys so good around Mama Chrissy? And she said, if we don't listen to Mama Chrissy, she'll stick a needle through our nose. That's what she does. Is that not crazy? She will get the kids, and she puts a needle right through the nose if they don't listen. So, seems to work very well. It's very effective, what we found. So, we want to be good around Mama Chrissy. She's a sweet lady, though. Very sweet. This is our shop/house for now. It was the ground we built this on was solid quartz. It was so difficult to build this. It took 4 months to dig this spot out by hand. And that little bitty backhoe that you saw was a fellow missionary's that's meant for Georgia red clay, I think. Tore up all the time. And it took us 4 months to build that and 4 months to dig it out. It was crazy. But this is where we currently live. This is our shop. Hopefully you guys saw the picture of the permanent house starting. It'll be back here. That's it right there, starting out that way. And once we get out of the shop, our goal is to be able to offer whoever wants to come from the community, come up a few months out of the year and take welding, auto mechanics, building, something like that, so they can get a trait for themselves to be able to go out and support their families. There was a picture of Bernard and his family that you saw in here. His name's Bernard, and his wife's name's Nanzi. And he came about the beginning of our time in Masai Mara. Didn't know how to do... He could dig a ditch. I mean, they were great at that. That's what they do. He was a farmer. He was not a Maasai. He was a Kalenjin. Maasai are shepherds. Kalenjins are farmers. And so they were really good diggers. And as you can see, if I had some of the pictures in here, we needed some diggers. I mean, this rock right here, this is solid rock. That rock used to come all the way over to here and down. It was amazing. Built all of our security walls from the animals, our retaining walls. Everything was built out of the rocks we pulled out of that place. It was crazy. But Bernard came and been working with me about 3.5 years. And that fuel store / guest room you saw, I never touched a stone on it. He laid every one of those. He done it. And I helped with the foundation. He did the rest of it. And so he is a very wanted man in our community now when it comes to building and stuff like that. So I don't want to lose him, but he's also one of my best friends over there as well. But that's what we want to be able to offer folks that, you know, can't support their families, is a way to be able to go out and work and be able to support them. So that's our current house. It's where we call home. Four walls inside, just four walls, very easy to just get up and get in a place. And as you can imagine, living in a 12 by 14, we were ready to get in something no matter what. And all the crates that we shipped over in our container, we used those as dividing walls and made the girls' rooms and stuff like that. So a lot of people ask what we do for power. I just threw this in. These are the solar panels we use. Obviously, there's no power lines out where we're at, so we have solar power. So you can walk in and plug something in just like here. Everything's from here because all of our stuff is from here. This is inverters and stuff for you guys who like that kind of stuff. This is our power station. That's inside of our shop. And there's miles of wire behind that board. It's insane. It really is. I can't even get my hand behind it anymore. It's 4 inches deep, and it's just solid wires. And at night, when there's no sun, we have the batteries. So I just threw that in to kind of show people what we do for energy. I also put this thing back in here. This is Cape Buffalo. And these things are so mean. They're crazy mean. Laura wakes up and sees them with their nose stuck through our gate, just looking into our yard and stuff. But I was in Nairobi, and one of my guys called me, and he just had an encounter with one of these things. And it gets you down, because I'm just listening to the story and thinking, oh my goodness, because if you've seen these things in person, they're massive. They take on lions and sometimes win, okay? But these things, he said he came up, he was coming from town, walking through the woods to come up to our house, and he ran across this thing, and it took off chasing him. He, you know, there's no trees, really big trees out there, because everybody uses them for firewood and stuff, so we have trees maybe that big, so he goes up one of those little trees, he pushes the tree over, he falls out onto the ground. And he said it's just rubbing you in the ground with its nose. It's trying to catch you with one of those hooks. I just can't even imagine this as he's telling the story. And they don't have our sayings and stuff like we have in America, obviously. But he says this to me. He said, Travis, he said, what you have to do? And he's telling me how to survive a Cape Buffalo attack. And hopefully that never happens. But he says, as it's rubbing you in the ground with its nose, he said, you literally have to grab the bull by the horns. And I'm sitting here and I'm kind of laughing, you know. He didn't know our sayings. And he says, you just go with it. You know, you just go with it as it's taken. You don't let it turn its head. You're just going with it. And then it gets tired and you get up and you take off running. Comes after you, tackles you again. Go at it again. It's insane. Just insane, people. And that was one of three that happened while we were there. I had guys show up. They're out of breath and they're smiling, I guess because they've survived. I don't know. And there's blood running down here, and all the limbs hitting them in the faces are escaping for their life. So those things are bad boys right there. And You know, you get that cold sweat when you run up on one when you're on the floor with her. So, I always tell folks, all the building and stuff that we do, that's what I really love to build. By trade, that's what I am. But forever, it seemed like, I just kept thinking, Lord, I can do this anywhere in the world. Why am I here? You know, I didn't come here just to build things. It's not my purpose in life. And we hadn't had someone come to know Christ. Our mission station's been there for 15, 16 years. We hadn't had someone come to know Christ in 12 years. And it's a very, very difficult, hard place. 500,000 tourists a year come through our gate. Not through our gate, through the front gate of the Masai Mara. So there's every kind of doctrine and every kind of belief. And people look at you as, why aren't you giving me everything like everybody else is? It's a very difficult place to minister. And the Lord just kept taking me back to His Word and saying, Travis, I haven't called you to save people. I've called you to be faithful. That's what I've called you to do. And that happened numerous times. Fortunately, Laura and I never hit that on the same day. And that's great how the Lord works that way. And I remember 4 months before we left, there was this lady. Her name is Nongashu. And she came up to one of the missionaries' compounds. I was standing there with him. And she said, I want to know Christ. I want to be saved. That's how she said it. And she said, but I need you to talk to my husband first. Because they don't do anything without husband's permission. And so Shane and I, the other missionary, we said, okay, we'll go talk to him right now. You know, he's a little bit in shock. 12 years is a long time. He's dealt 12 years. I'd only been there 3.5 at that point. And we go down. We tried this for 2 weeks and missed the guy and missed the guy. He's out. He's gone. He's doing this. And so we were coming pretty discouraged. Well, she came up a couple weeks later, and I'll never forget, came in that gate, had this huge smile on her face, and said, my husband said, go ahead and do whatever you want to do. And so she was first believer. Is that right? Was she the first one? Yes, she was the first one in 12 years to come to know Christ. And is, you know, we're getting reports and they're faithful. It's just awesome. She was one of the first ones. And from there, it continued. God's timing is perfect, and we don't question His timing. But the Lord went on to give us 9 more ladies came to know Him. And so it was just an awesome, awesome time. We put this in here just to show you, and it often reminds me when I watch this of sometimes we think we have tough lives, and some of us do, but when I watch this, this is a daily chore, not a daily, a weekly chore, along with having to be the one, the breadwinner, working, getting food for her family. This right here is a weekly chore for Nongashu, and there's about 4 little pictures here in a row. And this is between 2 of our compounds. But she wanted to show Laura this right here. And check this out. So that's a weekly chore. You see women doing this all the time. You ride down, they're getting wood. Like some of them walk miles with this thing strapped on their head. This is about a medium-sized load right here. Little kids, little girls strapped on with water, you know, 5 gallons of water around their head and stuff. And the cool thing about this picture, okay, you would miss this if you didn't know about Maasai. They don't smile in pictures. Every picture we have of Maasai is mugshots. I'm serious. They will not smile. And you see Nongashu's face here. That's a new believer. She no longer does this because she has to. She feels. She no longer submits to her husband because she has to. Okay? She wants to now. You should hear her testimony. She wants to do this. She's found something. They have very little in life to distract them and very little in life, period. But she has found something, and it's Jesus Christ. She's found hope in her life. And the smile, you know, if you didn't know, that means everything right there. She is happy, even though with this labor-intensive job she has to do weekly. And she works on the mission station as well to support her family. She'll pull weeds. We try to find jobs to be able to help them and whatever we can help them out to do that way. And she's worked there about 6 years. She was one of the first believers come to know Christ there. This is a good picture. Once again, you know, look at the faces, okay? That's some of our new believers smiling. I have pictures of these ladies from when we first came, and they just look miserable. They really do. It's mugshots. I'm not kidding. And the lady standing here, non-new, she's been around the mission station about 7-8 years. She's worked there. The Lord brought her to Himself through a miscarriage. She almost died. She was in so much pain. Had nowhere else to turn, her testimony, she said, and cried out to God. That's what she said, and He saved her. And these ladies are changing the areas in which they live. Many Maasai, or many of these ladies, are the third, fourth, or fifth wife. And like Mama Chrissy has Boma. Most people, one family will have a Boma, and it'll have each wife will build a house, and they'll have 30 kids, some of them. Dads will have 30 kids. And so they will live with five other families in there, five other ladies. And they said things are completely changing in these Bomas. They don't talk about the things they used to talk about. They don't do the things they used to do, all because of one woman in each one of them. It's amazing how the light changes the darkness in such a place. So we prayed and prayed, and it went through our community that this was just a woman thing. Jesus is cool with the women, whatever. And we pray, Lord, please give us a man. Call a man to yourself, please, so that people see it's not just a woman thing. And right before we left, we were getting some sand. And sand is really tough to get. We go down and dig it out of the river and then throw it in the trailer. And so it's labor intensive. And Macon, the guy, the tall guy there standing beside me in the red, his name's Macon. He works for one of the other missionaries. Well, the other missionary was gone to Nairobi, and we had morning devotions, and everybody leaves, and my guys come out, and I said, hey, we need some help getting this sand. See if Macon wants to come and help us shovel out the sand. So they yell across the field. Macon comes back. I know Macon really well. He's never worked for me since I've been there. And he comes back, and we're in the truck riding down. And one of the other Maasai guys that works for me is a good friend. He wants to be an evangelist, he says. And I said, you know, Paul, his name is Paul. I said, I don't think Macon knows Christ. I said, won't you talk to him a little while, and we'll just sit here and shut up. I'll drive. And so he's on and on about 45 minutes talking to Macon, sharing the gospel with him. And we get to where we're going, and he says, he's ready. I said, he's ready. What's he ready for? You know, I was a little shocked once again. So he's ready to accept Christ. I said, really? And I said, okay, let me talk to him now. So we went for about another 45 minutes to an hour. And at one point, Paul was saying, Travis, he stopped me. He said, it sounds like you're trying to convince him not to become a Christian. I said, well, if I can convince him not to, then he's not really ready. And that wasn't what I was trying to do. But over there, they needed to know this is going to cost you everything. Not like here. For us, it's going to cost you big time. You're going to be outcast. You're going to lose stuff. People are going to mock you. It's going to be bad. Are you ready to sell every animal you own for Christ? Sounds kind of crazy to us, but that's everything to them. And after all that, Macon said, yes, I'm ready. I'll never forget. He came to know Christ right there, backseat of my truck, he said, on the side of a mountain. It was awesome. We were tickled to death. We go home, we're all excited, and we come back after lunch to go to the river to get more sand. And I said, Macon, we're down there shoving. I said, Macon, did you tell your wife about this wonderful thing that you've done and what Christ has done for you? And he said, no, she was gone. She's gone somewhere. And the young man here, Tigus, we know him well. His name's Tigus. We usually buy the sand from him, but we go help him shovel it out. He's standing there, and he's hearing this conversation. He says, he's talking to Paul. He says, what good thing is Travis talking about? And I said, go to work, man. He says, start talking. And so, same thing. About an hour and a half later, they were convinced. He had some of the most awesome things you want to hear. He said, you know, my whole life I've known I'm a sinner. I just have never known what to do. I mean, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm in sin. And I know I'm doomed without something. I just never knew what that something was. It was awesome to hear his testimony. So he accepted Christ right there. And the cool thing about this is nobody ever stands up in church and speaks or does anything. It's just not heard of. And these two men came to me on a Thursday before church, and they said, we want to share with the church and the whole community what Christ has done. And we want to stand up in front of the church and do it. I said, really? So this was the service where they were standing up sharing about what Christ had done for them, dying for their sins. And it went through the whole community. Our community was buzzing for a while about the church there and what's happening. And it was amazing. One of the cool things was Macon's daughter was wearing a headdress set to be married. Fortunately, she'd been circumcised just before all this happened. And shortly after this, Macon goes down and takes that headdress off his daughter. And it was just awesome to see fruits like that already starting in these guys' lives. And they were in discipleship. They wanted to be discipled, which is very important. And so we started that before we left. Still happening now that we're gone even. But they don't read. They don't write. So poses some more challenges when it comes to discipleship. But they're learning. They're learning how to read, learning how to write, and all that stuff. These people here, these two ladies, one with the Obama shirt on, her name's Nala Twasha, and the one in the red's name's Nasha. These names, man, I'm telling you. It took me years to try to figure these out. I can't remember things like Frank and Dave anymore. You know, those go right by. It's all these Oli Lolios and stuff. So this lady in the red here, that's Tigas' wife, 16 years old, been married a couple years now. And he asked us one evening, he said, can you come down and talk to my wife about who Jesus Christ is? I said, what time do you want us there? And so we went that evening, Laura and I did, went in that dark, smoky hut that they had. And I like to see people's face when we're talking about this stuff, and it's dark. So I'm sitting here chunking this fire the whole time. And I'm about to kill us because I'm just making a mess out of it. Smoke's going everywhere. You know, you look over at the doorway and you see, you know, how smoky it is. It was amazing. Anyway, I finally got a little flame going, size of a lighter, and could see her face, you know. And I said, this is not something he's telling you have to do and all this. And, oh, no, 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 no. And so this was a, she came to know Christ there, says she did. She's been coming. This is a Wednesday evening discipleship class that Laura does for the new believer ladies. And this friend of her here's, she comes to the gate. We constantly have people at our gate, always needing, wanting something. And so I'm going out on the foyer, and these two show up, and I say, can I help you guys, you know? And she said, yeah, I heard there's a new believers class happening, and said, I hear you talking about Jesus Christ, and I want to learn more about this man. Now, to date, she still has not confessed Christ or anything like that, but continue to pray for Nala Twasha. So that was pretty cool. The word was finally getting out after all those years, and it's really awesome. But it's really cute because I was down there, and I was saying, you know, you guys, now that you're new believers, I was talking to Nasha and Tigas, and I said, things are going to change between you guys. Your relationship's going to change as husband and wife, and, you know, everything's going to change. And they start jabbering and Maasai back and forth, and Paul, he starts laughing. I said, what do they say? He said, well, we don't ever fight about anything but the cow. And I thought, how simple is that? All we fight about is the cow. Man, how nice. How nice. So, if only, huh? But here we have Michael Pesce. That 12 years ago, that young believer, that young person that became a believer 12 years ago, that's Michael Pesce right here. We first got to Kenya, got to know him really well, heard about him throughout the years because he's been around the station since he was a little kid. But when we first got there, a few months after we got there, he went out to Tanzania to get some medicine for his mom. And he was carrying 5,000 shillings, which is equal to about $70, $80. And he forgot his ID card. So he crossed the border without his ID card, and the police called him. And they're not the friendliest of people. It's actually the what is it? C something. Anyway, the police. And they said, give us that money and we'll let you go. Always wanting a bribe. That's just how they rolled. They're corrupt. He refused to give them his money. And so they arrested him. Took his money anyway. At least he refused. They arrested him and took him to prison. Took him to the holding cell, which is, what a place. Your minds can imagine what kind of place that kid sat in for a while at that holding cell. It's like a little cave out in the open. It was crazy. We went, tried to talk to people. They charged him with a crime of robbing a Matatu, which is a little Nissan bus, van, robbing a Matatu by gunpoint. Well, in Kenya, that's a capital punishment offense. So Michael's sitting here on death row. And we go, we document what our guys do throughout the week and stuff, and we go and we say, Michael painted the front gate to the station the day you're saying this happened. He translated for women's Bible study that evening. They didn't care. They tried to get a bribe from us. We said, no, we're not paying. And I often tell people or ask people, would you, you know, think about this guy's mom. Her name's Nada Toddy. She's awesome. She's been in our church forever, too. Would you want to pay $80 to get your kid off death row? I mean, think about it. $80. And she stood faithful, stood strong. Nobody paid the bribes. He sat in prison for 3 months total, was waiting to be killed. And we finally got it worked up to the attorney general. I mean, they even had witnesses come in. And the witnesses said, that's not the guy that done that. It's crazy. And they were still going to kill him. And we finally got it all the way up to the attorney general. And he looked at the case and laughed, threw it out. Michael went free. And so Michael is at Moffitt Bible College right now. He started his second year at this point, going to become a pastor. So he'll probably come back, Lord willing, find him a wife, get married, come back, and maybe one day be the pastor of our church after all of that. And so it's amazing how the Lord does things. He did it for a reason for him. It's definitely strengthened his life. He said he read the Bible 3 times in those 3 months sitting there. Took him Bibles and different things like that. So continue to remember Michael. It's an easy name to remember. I always put this in at the end. We'll finish up real fast. Laura hates it when I do this, but it's kind of funny. Does anybody know what that is? Huh? Does anybody know why they roll dung? No clue? There's a Maasai man told me that they roll dung to attract their mates. I said that in the church in the beginning when we came home, and some man in the back yelled up and said, that just shows you how low us men will go. And I was like, oh my goodness. But we have these things everywhere. It's amazing. I put it in the missionary, do you have what it takes thing. I said, can you watch a dung beetle roll dung? This was the most amazing thing to me when I first got there. I saw one rolling across the road. I went back and got the video camera, and I followed this thing for 7 minutes, rolling this thing. And now they're everywhere. We have 2-3 cows in our yard. We have dogs. We have lots of dung to roll, I guess. And so they just roll it and store it. So we got these balls of dung everywhere. You walk out, they're just everywhere. So we think we've seen everything, you know, right before we leave, like 3 or 4 days before we leave, Sarah comes running around the door and says, Mom, Dad, come see this. You got to see this dung beetle. We've seen dung beetles so many times, whatever. So we turn the corner, and it's right near our front door, and here was this dung beetle. Check that bad boy out. I would hate to see when we get home what he's rolled up for us, but but he was huge. I'd never seen one so big, but he's huge. So that's pretty much it. Thank you guys for listening. And remember Macon. Macon said to me, he said, Travis, when you go home, please have people pray for me. And he said, I got one request. I said, what's that, Macon? He said, pray that I'll be faithful. And it just kind of floored me. It seemed so simple. Pray that I'll be faithful. And I looked at him and I said, pray that I'll be faithful. Wow, what a prayer request. Just pray that I'll be faithful. And he's doing very well. They're all doing very well. Some of our ladies have undergone some persecution as of late. Jesus was cool with everybody when it all started happening. Man, these guys got their wives, and their wives have changed, and it's so much better, and their lives are obviously better because of it. And so everybody's like, oh, this is awesome. This is cool. And then it came to some of the ceremonial things of their children being circumcised and different things like that that were pretty much pagan traditions. And the wives had stood up and said no. And so now it's starting, the rubber's starting to hit the road for these young believers. And they're taking some heat over it from their husbands, from the community. So please remember them, because, man, what a place. It's a hard place to be a Christian over there. And it is for them. It's not for us. People look at us and expect us to be Christians. But for them, it's a lot different. So please continue to pray for them. But we got time for a question or two, or we need questions? Any questions? Yep.
I wrote down a couple of why do they have to sell every animal that they own when they become Christian?
Oh, I'm just telling them to count the cost.
Oh.
That yeah, that's what I was. I'm sorry, I may not have made that clear. But just, would you be willing to sell every animal, give everything for Christ?
Yeah, Christ.
Just the cost of counting the cost is what I'm trying to get them to do.
And then the other one, what were you going to do with the sand?
The sand? Oh, that's what we build. We do all that. We have to use it for the concrete. And my guys are still working. I didn't, you know, I'm gone for a year, and I didn't want to say, hey, you guys take a year off too. They can't do that. So I left my guys working while I'm at home, and I had to store up enough sand for them to be able to keep going for the whole year while I was gone.
And also the water situation, were you able to dig for a well?
There was a shallow well there. We used solar to pump that from down up to a holding tank above our station.
So they don't have to carry it? No.
No. We got a pretty good setup. You know, that's one of the first things we do is try to find water.
Yeah.
Without water, it's hard to do anything. No development, it's very difficult. Anything else? Kevin wanted to ask me what the grossest thing I've ever seen was. Kevin. Okay. So, thought I'd seen everything, okay? Laura wanted to go visit the ladies one day. So I thought, I'll ride along, just mosey around, see if there's somebody I can talk to down and around. So we go down here, and the lady she was going to visit, she comes walking out of the bushes with a bowl on her side like this, and it was full of, she just slaughtered a goat on her shoulder. I'm watching her walk down, and I see, it was a little girl, Laura, her little girl, about how old? Two and a half-ish, whatever. She comes walking in behind her. I'm standing there like this. I look down again. And this little girl, I'm gagged saying this. Anyway, she had raw intestines in her hand, okay? And they were stringing out through her hand, blood, intestines. And she's sitting there just sucking away on these things. And there's two big snot streams rolling down too, with flies all hung in it. And I just lost it almost. I was holding back the gag. I can't believe it. The Lord's really helped my gag. And I looked down and I said, that is so bad. That is so bad. It is so dangerous. And the mom looks at me and she smiles. Yeah, it is. So she throws it down on the ground. Okay? In the manure. We were inside the barn. So as we walk away, I see that little girl reach down, that thing up, with the manure all over it. So that is the grossest thing I have ever seen. It's fascinating. I still wouldn't get angry when I talk about it. So, it's crazy. They don't have a problem with them eating guts, I guess. In fact, we went down to slaughter a goat one time. I wanted to do a goat roast for all my guys. And we go down, we cut its throat, and they're cleaning and stuff. And I'm watching all this good meat, American good meat. I'm watching it all go to the side. And I'm thinking, that's the stuff I eat. What's going on here? And they said, if we serve that to you when you come to our house, you'd be offended. Most people would. And they eat
everything. I'm not kidding. Everything, except the hooves. Everything out of that goat. They eat that 2 or 3 days later. That's what they tell them. And you got all these intestines and guts, and they're telling me, oh, this is good this way, this is good that way. They're down in the river scrubbing out these rough intestines. And one of my guys took the head because he wanted to eat the brains of soup. I mean, it was insane. And so I didn't eat much that day. Just to let you know. So that's how they rub.
Chitlins. You can get those in France, too. It's a delicacy. Chitlins. Thank you, Travis. Yep. So you see, you can't walk up to somebody and say, the Lord loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Let me ask you 2 questions. You've got to get involved in their lives and really make an investment. And that's why we need lifetime missionaries who can get there, learn the language, discern all of the little gimmicks and games that everybody goes through to get the aid and get beyond all of those barriers and get Christ to those folks. Well, we'll hear more in a little bit. Let me lead us in prayer to close this time. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning and for the heart of this ministry, the love for people that we've seen this morning. We do pray that you'd be glorified in Maasai Mara, Kenya. We pray for these new believers undergoing persecution. Lord, we pray that you would help them all to be faithful and that you would continue to grow them in godliness, that your church there might thrive. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.